The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly. When you think of counterculture, what comes to mind? Maybe a grainy Woodstock photo. A punk with a safety pin through their nose. Rebellion you can point at. Something you can touch.
Right. And the dark web conjures a different set of images for me. Encrypted code, anonymous stalls, that shadowy back end of the internet. On the face of it, fashion and the dark web feel like opposite planets.
That was my read, too. I've spent years watching how subcultures bubble up and, weirdly fast, turn into what we all wear. How a look jumps from a basement in Berlin to a runway in Paris. That path used to be visible. Lately, it's been rerouted. Buried, really.
That's the hook for me. I'm drawn to the plumbing no one's supposed to notice. So when I heard whispers that exclusive streetwear drops and DIY scenes were organizing in hidden networks, I wanted to see the wiring. The question that grabbed me was simpler than it sounds. What does rebellion look like when no one can trace it?
Exactly. If the tools of anonymity, the same ones that shield cybercrime, start powering a new counterculture, what are we actually looking at? Is it creation or exploitation? A lifeline for independence or a new way to strip mine them?
What I want to do is pull the curtain back between those worlds. When we spoke with people who've lived inside it, an activist, a former vendor, the relationship sounded less like a clash and more like a feedback loop.
So the thing I keep circling is one question. If style has a soul, does that hidden web protect it or just price it out?
To even try to answer, you have to start at the beginning. Before the money and the organized theft, the first fashion communities down there weren't chasing sales. They were chasing conversation.
Like a digital speakeasy.
Exactly. Think about the open web for visual work. It's a surveillance machine. Every mood board, every sketch gets scraped, analyzed, and fed into a system built to predict and then mass-produce the next thing.
Which shows up in stores in, what, weeks? It's a creative death spiral. Someone in Brooklyn posts a jacket, and 3 weeks later, a fast fashion chain sells a blunted version worldwide.
Right. Those early groups wanted out. A place to share a pattern, a CAD file, a manifesto without it getting vacuumed up by the feed. One former member told us, we weren't hiding from the FBI. We were hiding from the algorithm.
That line floors me. The rebellion isn't against the state so much as the marketplace, against being seen by it.
Total inversion of the influencer playbook. Not maximize attention, minimize it. They used encrypted chats to coordinate hyper-exclusive in-person drops. You'd get a coded ping with a location, an empty warehouse in Berlin, a back alley in Tokyo, and you had 1 hour. Cash or crypto. No phones.
So, the mask of the internet produced this totally physical moment that couldn't be screenshotted. It only existed for the people who made it through the door.
The purest form of scarcity. But that's where the trouble starts, right? The same invisibility that shields creators makes excellent cover for predators.
Yeah. How long can a clean room stay clean when it's inside a house already crawling with thieves?
And the thieves noticed. Fast. The same stack, anonymous browsing, crypto payments, end-to-end chats that protected designers also let counterfeiters move fakes with near zero risk.
So, the safe house doubles as a
hunting ground. And they barely had to build demand. The originals had already done the myth-making, proof of market, and all.
The criminals just scaled it. A piece sold to 50 people at a pop-up in London suddenly appears in thousands of high-grade copies on a hidden marketplace.
Here's the part that still makes my stomach drop. Sometimes the fakes show up first. We found cases where internal design files were stolen, sent to a factory, and counterfeits hit the dark web a month before the brand's legitimate release.
No way. That's not copying a product. That's hijacking the launch. Stealing the idea before it even breathes.
Exactly. It's not a side effect. It's the business model. We saw listings that functioned like pre-orders for stolen goods. A grainy prototype photo from a factory insider. Then they start taking crypto. The leak itself, becomes the product.
That's so. I don't know. Industrialized in its cynicism. Skip the art. Sell the rumor.
And imagine the hit to the designer's psyche. You pour months into a collection, aiming for something untainted. And the first public glimpse is a blurry shot on a criminal forum, already earmarked for duplication.
It's brutal. It warps your sense of trust. Who's solid? The person stitching beside you? Your factory? The shipper? Suddenly, every link in the chain feels like a crack.
We heard that in detail from a small label founder. He found a near-perfect knockoff of his signature jacket on a hidden site, using his own internal manufacturing photos. Those images had only gone to his production partner.
So the breach came from the tiny circle he thought was safe.
He had to assume it. It changed him. He shut doors, stopped collaborating, got guarded. Creation, which should be connection, became an exercise in suspicion.
That's the gut punch. It's not just lost revenue. It's the culture that gets strangled. The scene that tried to escape the mainstream ends up suffocated by a black market that's faster and more ruthless.
And ironically, that market mirrors the very worst of fast fashion. Speed, volume, context stripped out so the cheapest version can ship.
Only with an extra dose of criminality. With fast fashion, at least you can point at it in daylight. How do you fight an enemy you can't see, one selling your idea before you've shown it yourself?
Some try embedding traps in digital files, watermarks, telltale artifacts. But the counterfeit networks are skilled. They can scrub a file clean in hours.
So it turns into a tech arms race.
Asymmetric, though. A small London collective can't match a global, anonymous operation with no overhead and no legal exposure.
That hopeless feeling? It makes me wonder what happens to the look itself. If you expect theft, do you start designing things that can't be cloned? Lean into complexity, rare materials, stuff that resists duplication. Does the threat start steering the art?
It already is. Call it defensive evolution. Designers are moving toward painstaking handwork, one-off stitch patterns, small batch dye processes you can't just spin up overnight. Creation becomes the art of making something uncopyable.
So the rebellion becomes craftsmanship, which is wild, because high fashion has always claimed that space, authenticity, the human touch. Now the underground gets pushed back to it, not for prestige, but to stay alive.
Exactly. It's survival, but it also means no scale. They get stuck as boutiques while their ideas go global without them.
Feels like we've looped back to the opening image, that off-the-grid backroom built to dodge the feed.
Ends up spawning a harsher machine, one optimized for untraceable profit. But I don't think that's the last word. The urge to make outside the lines doesn't disappear just because someone monetizes the shadow.
No, it slips sideways, finds another corner. So our original fork in the road, shelter or store?
I don't think it's a clean binary anymore.
I keep landing here. For a moment, it was a refuge. But any space with no rules is open to anyone ruthless enough to walk in. The same freedom that built the sanctuary laid out the welcome mat for exploitation.
I'm a hair to the side of that. The market was always lurking. The second you make something desirable, a market is born. Whether that's a Paris runway or an encrypted server. The dark web didn't invent that impulse. It just stripped away friction and consequences.
Stripped the friction. That's it. Which leaves the question, where does counterculture hide next when even the shadows have a price tag?
Maybe it goes fully offline. Back to things that can't be copied and pasted. Back to touch. To moments that leave no trail.
A fascinating, if a little bleak, place to pause. This story's still being written, in code and in thread.